The longest running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Yep, that is right. We are back here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor for episode number 383. Continue to click these off, approach that magical number 400 later this year that I think is going to fall maybe in the September ballpark. So definitely looking forward to that. Should be a ton of fun when we get there. As always, man, you got any guest suggestions? Anybody you would like to hear? Bucket list guests, bucket list interviews. Let me know on social media at JimBeaver15. I would love to have your guys' input. Not only that, but just throughout the show. Hit me up. It is at JimBeaver15, and we will get you guys locked and loaded. Your questions asked to our guests. I'd love your input when we get to power rankings. We're actually going to be talking about some stage rally today with ARA and Tiffany Stone, who was out there on site at the Olympus Rally. Obviously, Chris is in for power rankings. We got my good friend Steve Torrance, your NHRA Top Fuel Wally winner on the weekend. He is going to be on the show as well today, and kicking things off. Here in the first two segments, we've got a lot to talk about. Massive, massive blockbuster news coming out of the sport of desert racing. We have major changes in the marquee event, the Mint 400, one of the marquee events in all of off-road racing. It is now going to be run independently. It's been tied to Best in the Desert for years in the past couple of years, but now it's going to be run independently. We're going to dissect that announcement and all that entails. Also, along with that, the UTV World Championship going independent as well. So we have a lot to talk about to dissect that here in the first 30 minutes of the show. That's definitely one. I'm sure the Twitter machine is going to fire up for that. I know our Facebook group has already been asking me, chiming in what we think of it. And we got a lot to talk about in these first couple of segments in regards to that. So today's show not going to disappoint. Thank you guys for tuning in. And we are going to take a short commercial break here to kick off the show. And when we return, I don't know, I did some fun things over this past weekend. I think I'm going to tell you about them right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing anywhere is possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right, welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And man, we definitely have a lot to talk about today. Great to be back in the saddle. I know, kind of weird, you know. I've been doing, haven't been doing a lot of traveling, which is like weird, right? I had some, you know, Lucas events here on the West Coast, and you know, everything pretty much been on the West Coast. I've literally only taken one airline flight this year. That was up to Dirtfish in Seattle for a day for some meetings. But other than that, literally, I've been in California, Arizona, Nevada, which is mind-boggling to me that we are almost to May, and I've only taken one flight. Which I do have to say, in May, is all going to change, because a week from now, I'm going to be headed to Indianapolis to the Indianapolis Grand Prix, the kickoff to the month of May there in Indy, hanging out with some of my favorite IndyCar drivers, hopefully snagging some interviews and having a lot of fun there at the Indy GP. So definitely looking forward to that. If you guys are heading out to Indianapolis for the GP, hit me up. Let me know. I would love to meet any of you fans. If I'll probably be in the inner portion. I won't be on the outer portion, kind of the inner portion. They've got Media Center there, Gasoline Alley and such. But would love to meet up with you guys if you're out there for the GP or any time in the month of May. I don't know. I might be going out later in the month. We'll have to see about that. But yeah, Indy GP on tap. And then I just found out, too, I'm going to be taking a flight late in the month to the Charlotte area. I love Charlotte, Charlotte Motor Speedway. General Tire has their big General Tire ARCA 150 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. It's also tied in with the Coca-Cola 600 NASCAR qualifying. Big night there Thursday late in May. So I'll be out there. I'm going to spend a couple days in the area, maybe get a swing by Robbie Gordon's shop, Steve Arpin's shop, catch up with some of my friends in Charlotte. So, yeah, I don't know. I got a month of travel. Then, geez, we move into June, and even crazier. I know I got Crannon. I've got some stuff there with Lucas Oil in Missouri at Wheatland. So I don't know. Lots of travel on tap the next couple of months. It is funny. I've actually had people ask me, like, "What's the deal? Like, you're not. We don't see all these crazy pictures from all over the country like we normally do." And I'm like, yeah, it's actually kind of weird in my world also. So, yes, travel going to be on tap, but I'm looking forward to Indy GP. One of my favorite – you know, it's funny because it's kind of like the redheaded stepchild of Indianapolis. Like, it's the one – like, it's a rad event. But nobody, like, even the stands, I mean, it's Indianapolis, it's IndyCar, people are going to show up, but they don't show up like they do for the 500, probably even like the Brickyard 400 or something. But, you know, it's just funny because, like, it's actually an amazing road course. The racing is insane there. It's at Indianapolis. It's the kickoff to the month of May. And the cool thing is, for somebody like me, who's a media personality, I get like full access to all these drivers because all the media wants to come in the next weekend for Indy 500 qualifying. So like literally nobody's there. And, you know, I get kind of the run of the mill, and everybody's asking, like, how do you get so many IndyCar interviews? Well, it's because I'm actually there and I'm like one of the only guys there requesting interviews. So I've actually found it to be an amazing event. I love going out there for the GP. Not only that, but I just like the Indianapolis area. It's always fun to go back there a few times a year. So yeah, that's coming up. But before that, I know this past weekend, it was one of my favorite things. And a lot of you guys know I used to play a a lot of sports before I got into auto racing and whatever this career in media is, right? I don't know what is my job title. I haven't quite figured that one yet. Did a home run derby this past weekend, one of my favorite events of the year. A lot of you guys were hitting me up. I got some DMs on it on social media, on Instagram, posted up some pictures. The local police department does this annual charity home run derby, and literally it's on a small ballpark. We get to use aluminum bats, and just like the Major League home run derby, same format, but it's teammates. You got a teammate and stuff like that. So, basically, you pay a fee. It's all for charity. It helps fund presents for kids at Christmas time. And usually I've done this the past couple of years. I've got second place a couple of times, and got second place again this year. But I got to tell you, it's getting harder and harder. Like, I am literally dying right now, like dying in this chair. My back is killing me. My shoulders are sore. Like, you don't swing a bat for I may go to the batting cages once or twice a year, but you don't swing a bat for a while, and holy crap, man, you use muscles you didn't even know you had, or you forgot you had. It's like when you go golf and you haven't golfed in a while, and it's like all of a sudden all these muscles in your back, you're like, oh, there's a muscle there? I had no idea until I swing this damn golf club. Same thing with swinging a baseball bat, but came out of retirement, did that. I actually, people are giving me crap, right? So I'm playing against these high school kids, literally, in the Parker High School kids are in the state playoffs and everything else. These kids literally that are playing like 5 days a week are in this home run derby, just hitting dingers left and right. Here's this old guy, 38 years old, out there, and ended up getting second place. My cousin Stosh, who I brought in a ringer, I do have to admit, he's in his 30s though. But he works for the Texas Rangers. He played college baseball, and he now works for the Texas Rangers. So he's around baseball a little more frequently than I am. But, together we ended up second place in this home run derby. Kind of stoked on the finish. Got a whopping $75 gift card to Buffalo Wild Wings for our winnings. So, I don't know. Anybody want to go party with me at Buffalo Wild Wings? It's going to be on. I'm telling you right now. I was starting to think about that. I'm like, how many appetizers and beers can you buy for $75 at Buffalo Wild Wings? Like, I think I got the makings of one hell of a party at Wild Wings. Like, for real, that's a lot of money for Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, you can accomplish a lot. You can get your drunk on or your drink on for $75 at Wild Wings. So I think this could be fun. Maybe this is one of those we do a meetup. We should do a meetup at one of these motorsports races. And I got $75. I'll throw in an extra, make it an extra 25, make it an even 100. And we do a radio show meetup. It's some bar around a racetrack or something like that. Maybe at an off-road event, something like that, at a Wild Wings. The first $100 in beers are on me. And then after that, you just got to pay for your own. But maybe we do some kind of like radio meetup or something like that. And the first $100 in beers are on me. What's a beer at a bar, happy hour, $3, something like that. That'd buy 30 beers, I think. It could be the makings of a good time. So maybe that's something we do. I hang on to those and we do a meetup at something. This sounds like something Tiffany Stone should probably be organizing, not me. I'm scatterbrained. It was a fun weekend. Ended up, like I said, second in the home run derby, and I'm feeling it today. Back to the grind. I know it's funny. I've got these two Razors sitting in the garage right now. And brand new Turbo S's. One's a 2-seat, one's a 4-seat. And I've been kind of slow to kind of get these things built. And I actually sold off one of my 4-seaters recently to make room for this new 4-seat Turbo S, which is going to be my play car for this fall. And Stoke Pro Armor jumped on board with me. So I got a cage coming and some seats from Impact and Mastercraft. And it's going to be one rad build. I already got some axles. Super ATV sent me some axles for it. So I'm excited with the way this thing is going to turn out. But I've had a lot of people ask me, because I posted up some pictures of a 2-seat and 4-seat. People are like, what are you doing with those? Like, where are they? We know you got some builds coming. Yeah, they kind of got paused, but we do have builds. The 2-seat is going to be my King of the Hammers car for next year. Yes, I am going to go do King of the Hammers. Really excited about that. Should be really, really fun, to go. And I'm kind of nervous about it though. King of the Hammers, like, that's a real deal. Like, you can't screw around. It's not like you just drive around slow and figure things out. Like you can in desert racing or even short course, where you just go and you take, You know, you just take a couple laps slow and you get a feel for things. You get into the rocks and it's hairball, right? It's like 100% from the get-go, you got to have your A game on. You know, rocks do not, you know, they don't screw around. You know what I mean? That's the real deal when you're starting to have to winch and just, like, it's insane. So I got to tell you, I'm a little nervous. I'm going to have to do my homework this fall. Hopefully you get this car built out and, you know, it'll be on display trade show season and stuff like that. But I got to tell you guys, I am a little bit nervous about this King of the Hammer. Sometimes I'm like, I look at these videos and stuff like that. I'm like, what did I actually get myself into, right? You know, I've raced my entire life, but never done a whole lot on the rocks other than just some fun, you know, out in the desert and, you know, and things like that, but never legit rock crawling. So I think this winter I'm going to be a permanent fixture there in Johnson Valley. That's probably a good idea if I'm not going to make a complete fool out of myself come next year, King of the Hammers. But yeah, enough about me. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about this big Mint 400 and UTV World Championship news between Best in the Desert and the Martelli brothers. There's a lot of stuff floating around, and we're going to dissect it right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We come back after this short commercial break.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZs, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to three full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
All right, and you know, as we roll into that, I gotta slide in some words from one of my favorite partners here on the show before we get into things. And like, I don't know, this is one of those like, they sent me the spot, and it absolutely cracks me up every single time that I play it. So that's why one of those, I don't slide it in the commercial breaks. I legit blatantly play it in the middle of the show because it just cracks me up every time. So here's a spot from my friends at My Medic.
Oh, man, that was a hell of a ride.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet and save 15% with discount code JimBeaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code JimBeaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a funeral.
Yeah, My Medic, those guys kill it. Seriously, their first aid kits, they've got something for everything. Like, they tailor make them to whatever you do, whether you're outdoor, action sports, got razors, you're a surfer, you know, mountain biker, hunter, you know, just a soccer mom, whatever. They got first aid kits tailor made to what we do, and use that coupon code JimBeaver, get you 15% off there at My Medic. So you know, moving into the big news we got to talk about here. You know, we got I kind of knew this was coming, fair warning. I sit on a lot of stuff on the show, you know, kind of sworn to secrecy. And, you know, I think that's probably one of the reasons why we've been as successful as we have. There's been shows in the past where people tell certain people things and, hey, sit on it, and they want to be the ones to break the news. So they immediately, boom, spew stuff out. And, you know, and then, you know, you lose – You get the numbers, right? They're short-term numbers. You get a spike because you're breaking news. But then, you know, then you lose credibility. You lose that trust factor. So then you don't get it that. So it's like it's short-term gain. And, you know, I've got a lot of people who trust me with a lot of information. And so we sit on it sometimes for months and months at a time. But, you know, I knew Best in the Desert and the Martelli brothers, you know, it's – I've been asked. So basically, there's been two press releases put out, one from Best in Desert, one from the Martelli brothers, and they both basically say the same thing. And this wasn't like a bad breakup or something like that. And I think that's the first thing that anybody needs to know is this wasn't a bad breakup between Mad Media, the Martelli brothers, and Best in the Desert. And, you know, obviously Mad Media, for those of you that aren't off-road fans and tune in for our other talk, they own the marketing and rights and stuff like that to the events of the UTV World Championship and the Mint 400, a couple of marquee events in off-road racing, right? Best in the Desert helped on the backside, you know, with the running of the event, you know, the logistics, of the volunteers, you know, the actual race itself, where the marketing and the media and the buildup around it was all Mad Media. But, it, you know, and that was a contract between Mad Media and Best in the Desert. You know, what's happened is this, you know, the Mint 400 in particular, UTV World Championship is, you know, in and of itself. But, you know, the key property here is the Mint 400. It's grown so big since the Martellis took it over. You know, now, you know, you've got stuff on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 2 days of racing, 2 days of contingency. It's got massive, you know, Red Bull Signature Series has come in to cover it. You know, you've had World of X Games come in to cover it. It's a massive, massive event. And, you know, over 500 racers. Think about that. Over 500 racers. Now there's motorcycles, UTVs, everything you can imagine. You got Jenson Button coming in. Last year with Antron Brown and Steve Torrence. Pastrana's come and raced it before. Tanner Faust. I mean, you know, you've got some of the baddest dudes. Sal Masekela. Biggest name people, Patrick Dempsey. Gosh, I'm losing track of, you know, how many amazing, you know, badasses have actually come into the race this. So you've got all that working, right? You know, and it's just, it's become, I think, overwhelming for Best in the Desert, who just works on the race standpoint. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, in operations, it has become huge. You know, I think there were some things slipping through the cracks, maybe not necessarily between the two. You know, you get two entities coming together, things like that. I think Mad Media wanted to move it a certain direction. I don't know that Best in the Desert was quite comfortable with that. So, you know, they've come together. You know, I think they mutually agreed to separate. You know, and like I said, there's no bad blood. It doesn't mean they're not going to work together in the future on some other event or something like that. I think this is just, you know, as of right now, this is the best case for both of them. Everybody's wondering, you know, what's going to happen? Is Best in the Desert going to die? Is it going to be good? And, you know, and this and that. So the two press releases that came out. One, let's talk about Best in the Desert first of all. Okay. I think that, you know, is this going to hurt Best in the Desert? Yes. I mean, we'd be fools not to think it's not, right? Two of their marquee events, you know, are now gone. And we've got Silver State 300 coming up this weekend, by the way. So, but yeah, so the two of their marquee events are gone. I mean, these are their biggest draws. And I don't know how the money exchanged hands or what between Mad Media and Best in the Desert. Don't know. Don't care. But what I know is that calendar, you know, all of a sudden you just pull two of the marquee dates out of it. It's going to make it tough. It'd be like pulling, you know, let's go to NASCAR and we're going to pull the Daytona 500 out of the NASCAR calendar. And, you know, what's another big NASCAR race? I don't know. Just Brickyard 400, something like that. Well, Brickyard wouldn't hurt them too bad, but, you know, it's just one of those where you pull two of the marquee events out and it's going to hurt you, right? I know Best in the Desert's come and said they've got a contingency plan. They've got some new events they're going to add in. We'd be foolish to think they're going to be anywhere close to a UTV World Championship or Mint 400 size. I think, you know, the two marquee events that they've got still is Vegas to Reno and the Parker 425. You know, it's things like Silver State 300. It's actually a rad track. It's an amazing race. There's zero media and marketing value around it. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares if you go and race that. I mean, I'm sitting out. I'm not racing it this weekend because there's literally zero ROI. I could go and win that race. Nobody's going to care. You know, and that's the thing. Sponsors don't care. Unless you're racing for points championship, there's no reason to be at that race. Kind of the same with their Laughlin race, you know. So they're left with two marquee events. You know, Parker 250 UTV race. I'd like to see that absorbed into the 425, but that's a pipe dream at this point. But yeah, so you know, you're left with that. We're gonna see. Are they gonna survive? Yes. You're still gonna have racers go there. They're the premier racing series in the United States. Mad Media said they don't care about putting on a racing series right now. They're gonna concentrate on their events, right? So, especially those are gonna be okay. Yeah, they're still gonna have racers. It's going to hurt them. I don't know how their schedule is gonna look next year. I know King of the Hammer's running up on the 425. They're moving that another week earlier. So that's gonna help with that event. I think it's too early to tell. We're gonna have to wait until their calendar comes out to see what rabbits they've got up their sleeve. Mad Media, on the flip side, everybody's like, well, now it's not a Best in the Desert event. How are those races gonna survive? You know, and granted, are they gonna lose a couple of entries? Yes, the Mad Media's the Mint 400 is very expensive to run from a racing standpoint, from a driver standpoint. It's one of my most expensive events of the year. It's a lot of hotel rooms in Vegas. Heavy entry fee. You got to bring in a lot of people. It's a crazy event. And so it's very expensive to run. So there's a lot of guys in sportsman classes and things like that that run Best in the Desert, maybe want a championship. Are they going to go now and run the Mint 400? No. Is that going to hurt the Mint 400? No. We're not talking like losing, and I hate to say this, but not like you're missing Rob McCracken or Bryce Menzies. And it actually might make the event better because it's going to be a few less entries. Do they need 500 entries to be successful? No, they absolutely do not. It actually probably make life easier if they had less entries. So, I think that's one of the biggest things to look at. Is the entry list going to go down a bit because of this? Yes, but it's not going to be the marquee names that you think. Because most of the marquee names, none of us run for points championships. Just truth. So, and I think Mint 400 originally was run independently. And as we saw with the trophy truck race there at King of the Hammers, or T1 truck, whatever the hell they want to call it. I don't want to say it was completely wildly successful, but, you know, they had a decent amount of entries. I think the purse is right. The media is right for this event. There for the Mint 400, everybody's going to be there regardless. It's going to be on the same date, same weekend. I don't think any races are going to run up. It's still, that announcement came out and it's still circled on my calendar to run. It's truth. That's just the truth. So, you know, I think we're going to see, I think it's going to be interesting. I think Mad Media's got some ideas now that they own 100% control of it, what they're going to do to take it to the next level. And as we've seen over the past 8 years, they continue to up the game. And same goes for the UTV World Championship. Now that it's independent, there's no points on the line. I think, you know, it actually frees drivers because, especially UTV Worlds, it's a tough one. You want to finish it. You no longer have to lay up, man. It's gas on, game on. You're going for the glory. There's no points racing. There's none of that. And I hope to God both events they throw away this Grand Prix finish crap. I think that it's going to be good for Mad Media and the Mint 400 and the UTV World Championship, hands down. I think it was a good move for them. Best in the Desert, I think short term it's going to ding them a little bit. Long term, it's going to be interesting to see what pops up. My hope is that Best in the Desert rises to the occasion, brings in a couple of more events, and they've learned something from dealing with Mad Media for the past decade, and they decide that they need to ramp up their media and their marketing and their exposure and the return on investment and really amp things up and make it that much better. Because to me, it's just it's insane that some of these events just don't have more value than what they do. And I think off-road is one of those things. We're an old sport, right? And I think a lot of times we get set in our ways. And I think one thing you got to credit Mad Media with is they came in and they bucked the trends. They bucked the system. They said, this is the way things are done elsewhere, and this is the way we should be doing it in the sport of off-road. And because of that, the money has come back, the exposure, the prestige, and Mad Media has been a massive, massive part of that. And for that, I think you've got to credit them. And it's my hope that, some of that's rubbed off on Best in the Desert. They're going to rise to the occasion, and things are going to get bigger and better at Best in the Desert. And we're going to have, two healthy series in scoring Best in the Desert and some healthy events run by Mad Media. I think this is all good stuff for anybody who loves the sport of off-road desert racing here in the United States. So we're going to take a short break, and when we return, it is Steve Torrance on the line right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty radio show since 2012. Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out VisionWheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with my good friend Steve Torrance. And Steve, now, correct me if I'm wrong. I heard there's this little rumor flying around that there's an election this fall in Charlotte, and you're in the running for mayor of Charlotte, my friend.
Man, I'll tell you what, Charlotte's been very, very good to us. We seem to do well when we go there, and we're going to try to keep that streak going. We don't have to go back till the fall, but hopefully we can pick up where we left off there yesterday.
Yeah, well, you know, and the funny thing is, you look in, you know, I know four wides there at Charlotte. You're 3-for-3 now, or 3 in a row? I know in Vegas you won last year, obviously this year, but it seems like you guys as a team, man, these four wide events, you guys have some really, really good luck. And there's a lot of teams that absolutely hate them, but it seems like you and the Capco boys, you're having a little bit of fun there with these four wides.
Well, to be honest with you, man, I wasn't the biggest fan of it myself for quite a while, but I mean, it's hard to argue with success and really, Richard Hogan and Bobby Lagana and every one of those Capco guys, they got a really good handle on it. I mean, I've got a great team, and they just instill confidence in you as a driver. So when you go there and then just knowing that you have good history there, you have good data, and you're able to go out and make the car perform and run the way that they do when we go to those places. I mean, just the four wide setup has been good for us. It's a distraction as a driver, but I was able to get my mind right, get focused yesterday, and move in the right direction and improve my driving a little bit. I hadn't been the best all year, and I needed that weekend. I needed yesterday to happen to change my mindset.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's funny going into this year. I mean, and I don't want to say funny because you guys are having a pretty damn good year. But, you know, obviously you just destroyed everybody, you know, the end of last year. I mean, it was take no prisoners, take no names. I mean, you know, it was just insane what you guys were able to accomplish in 2018, rolling to 2019. And I think everybody thought, you know, you guys were just going to pick up where you left off. And I know, you know, what's been different this year for you in particular? I mean, I know your dad broke through. Billy was on top of the box. But what changed for Steve-O? Because the team's been ridiculously good this year. It's just you haven't found yourself right on top of the box where you got accustomed to last year.
No, and I hadn't. And I mean, you know, we're trying some things, so I'm not going to say that every bit of it is on me. You can change your setup and change some things with the car and adversely affect the reaction time. So we've been working on that a little bit, and you know, just this weekend when you go through that, you begin to kind of question yourself a little bit and create some doubt that, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. Well, I went up there and put all that in the back of my mind and moved in the direction of just, you can do this, get your head out of your butt, be confident and go do your job. And I said it in my interview after the race, I just have to have something to motivate me. I have to race aggressively. I have to have that mindset. And I haven't had it for the first of the year. I just kind of have enjoyed going out and racing and having a good time, but not been aggressive, not been really driven and determined to go out there. And when you have that aggressive mindset, some people it works for, some people it doesn't. And I'm just the kind of driver that it does.
Well, you know, and I think it's funny you mentioned that, you know what I mean, about, you know, I guess you can play mind games with yourself and things like that, you know. And I know NHRA is kind of it's kind of the anomaly in motorsports, because, you know, in off-road, you know, we can go out and, you know, you can play mind games with yourself, but, you know, at some point in the day, you got, you know, 200, 300, 400, 500 miles, you know, to pull your head out of your ass and, you know, and get it together and go out and race. And, you know, same thing with IndyCar or NASCAR when you're running these 400, 500 mile races. I mean, you know, you can kind of hiccup there and not be quite as aggressive and go, oh, you know, I got to get my stuff together. And you know, and you've got leeway there because the races are so damn long. You're really not going to lose much, but in NHRA, there's no room for mind games, man. I mean, it's over as quick as it starts. You know, and I guess I never really thought about that, but these other motorsports, I guess we've got a little bit of a buffer there. But with you guys, there's none of that with NHRA.
Yeah, for us, it's, you know, all or nothing immediately. And so you just kind of figure out what works for you. And I have to be calm and focused, but I've got to have some aggression. I've got to go out there with some intent. And, you know, you let certain things motivate you and you let certain things go by. And that's what I've been able to really channel over the last couple of years. And I wasn't doing it. I wasn't racing that way. And it just, you know, it wasn't working for me. And you don't think about it until things are not going good. So you just take a step back and redirect your focus and change that approach and go with what works for you. And that's what we did this weekend.
Yeah. Well, you know, and talking about, you know, that, what's the big change you've seen in Top Fuel, you know, from last year to this year? Because you guys had it all figured out last year at the end. And, you know, I look at, you know, there's you guys, and obviously you went into the offseason. Everybody did their homework over the offseason. There's no doubt. You know, they knew they had to catch you. But, you know, I look at guys like you, and you guys were dominant. I mean, even a guy like Clay, who, you know, he had some good runs there and some ridiculously quick speeds. You know, and you know, you guys both seems like, you know, the start of the year, it hasn't quite worked out in your favor. I mean, what was the biggest, what's the biggest change you've seen in Top Fuel this year? You know, it seems like, you know, who did their homework this offseason? I mean, what's going on behind the scenes, Steve? I mean, what's the big changes you've seen?
Well, I mean, there's not a lot of big changes. It's just, you know, Grubby went from Clay's over to Brittany's, and they've run really well. And Clover's come in and turned the tables around with Clay. I mean, that car's running really well. And honestly, I don't think anybody expected them to run as well as they're doing right now. Mike Salinas has come out. I mean, he's got Alan Johnson over there, and so that automatically makes you a contender. And so I don't think there's been any changes or anybody did more or less homework. It's just there's you know, Doug Coletta's come out and kicked everybody's butt. And, I mean, there's a couple rounds that I should have won against him just for me not doing my job. So I think that competition is as good or tough as normal, and just there's going to be – there's no room for error. I mean, you know, there's probably less touring cars than there's been in a while, but there's still the same old good cars and tough racers to go against. And, I mean, you just – you got to stay on top of your game. And there's, like you said earlier, you race for 4 or 5 hours, you got some time to make a mistake, think about it and get your head right and all that. But we got less than 4 seconds for all that to take place. And a lot of these races are won and lost on the starting line.
Yeah. So that being said, I mean, you know, obviously you know, you've had a pretty damn good season so far. This puts you right back into the thick of things. I mean, we're about ready. You know, it's kind of weird the way NHRA starts out. You know, you guys have a little bit of staggered there where you get a couple of weeks off and then, you know, run an event, get a couple of weeks off. We're about ready to hit that summer stretch where it's gas on, game on. And, you know, every single weekend you're somewhere and, you know, and you're, you know, stomping the loud pedal, I guess. You know what, you know, how do you approach this stretch? Because you're right back in the thick of things, man. You are in the hunt, and it's got to have, you know, this win's got to have you guys hungry for some more.
Well, certainly. I mean, it put us back in the points lead with you know, a round and a half ahead. And this time of year has definitely been our wheelhouse when it's really hot and tracks aren't the best and kind of greasy. Richard and Bobby, they do a great job of getting down there and traversing those more difficult track conditions. So I'm excited about it. I think this will give us an opportunity to go out and work on that consistency, work on trying to stay out front with that points lead and go into the countdown with it. I mean, we're six races in, so we're 25% of the way through the season already, and a third of the way through the regular season, heading into that countdown. So we just, you know, I have figured out that this thing isn't a sprint. It's a marathon, and you got to pace yourself and really put it to it and hit the gas when it's time. And when it's time is those last six races. So I think that going through the middle of the summer, keeping in tune and in rhythm and just driving the car the best that I can will be the best preparation for going into the last six and just staying on top of your game. But you don't want to peak too soon. You want to be ready when it's time.
Yeah. Well, and I want to go back and talk, you know, kind of earlier this season. It's funny because I think this is the first time I've had you on air this year, but I had your dad Billy on after his big win earlier in the year, and, you know, that was a fun interview. And, you know, the funny thing is I know you and him, you know, there's a lot of bragging rights, but I know you're both each other's biggest fans and stuff like that. But how special was that to see your dad notch that win earlier this year, Steve?
You know, as a team, we've won quite a few races, but to see my dad go out and do well and have success and get that second win at Phoenix and just how good he drives. I mean, he's not a full-time race car driver. He does this for fun and you know, he sits at home and does the practice tree and all that, but he does really well. So, it's makes you proud. I mean, I don't have any kids, but I'm proud of my dad. Just as you know, that's my own right there doing something and doing well at it. So I mean, you know, kids are always going to be proud of their parents, and for him to go out and have the success he's had and in the industry that we've chosen to pretty much dedicate all of our efforts and fun and funds and everything to it, it's, you know, it's really special.
Yeah, I think he told me in that interview, he says, you know, he says, this is a really, really special win. He says, you know, he says, I had to go out and prove myself to my boss. He says, you know, he says, I think Mama Kay's going to keep the sponsorship rolling this year with me going out and winning. He says, I don't think I'm going to get fired this year.
Yeah, she's the boss of the race team for certain. She keeps all of us in check. She keeps those boys in check, and she does a really good job. So it's... we do it as a family, and I mean, it's really cool when you get to do that. And you got Mike Salinas, you know, I gigged him a little bit yesterday about the Harley thing, but I mean, that's a hard work and family run team, and that's what this is about. That's what the whole sport's about, is being out there and enjoying it. And I mean, that goes back into the you know, the early days of drag racing. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that being said, you know, looking at, you know, especially Top Fuel, you know, you're talking about Salinas, we're talking about, you know, Capco, you talk about Clay, and, you know, you guys are some of the smaller teams, and then you've got teams like, you know, like you had mentioned, you know, we got Schumacher and Force and, you know, and things like that. But one thing I think is really special is these smaller teams, you know, such as yourselves, you guys are sitting in there, and I mean, man, you guys have become some of the teams to beat, and I think that's what's really special about NHRA. You see that in IndyCar, NASCAR, and things like that, and usually those smaller teams, family-run teams, man, they always struggle, but you know, there's something different about NHRA, and you guys are thriving.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just a different time where there's more of us. I mean, we were one of the first ones, or not the first ones, but just the first ones in a long time to come out, and really, the guys that we have, the success that we've had, you see others following what we're doing. And I'm not going to say that we're, you know, the leaders or anything. It's just, we took a chance and went out and did it. And I mean, then you got Clay that comes out with a family run team. You got Mike that comes out and he's got his daughters racing with him. And just, I mean, it opened the door for some other guys to come out and do this. And I think that's what this sport needs right now. There's more of us than there are these big, you know, huge multi-car teams right now.
Yeah. Well, that being said, Steve, we're running up against a time break, man, but always fun catching up with you, and I'm stoked to see you and the Capco boys back on Top of the Box, and, you know, looking forward to watching you, you know, over the summer months make a run at this thing.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. Thank you for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
Always fun catching up with Steve Torrence. Just a class act, a great, great group of guys. I love everybody at that race team. I mean, just an amazing group of people, and stoked to see all their success and see him back up on Top of the Box. I guess on Top of the Box earlier this year with Billy, but see Steve back up there in the points lead. It's going to make for some fun hitting these summer months. But we're going to take a short break, and we come back. You know, we'll be here right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Kind of wrapping up hour number one here. And yeah, Steve Torrence, some talk on Mint 400 UTV World Championship. And you know, speaking of Mint 400 UTV World Championship, we're going to go in more depth on that tomorrow on my off-road podcast, Four Wheel Parts, Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, powered by Polaris Razor, the all off-road podcast, you know, that you guys have been wanting, you guys have been requesting. So that drops tomorrow, and I'm going in depth with Matt and Josh Martelli on exactly, you know, what's going on with the Mint 400 UTV World Championship, what to expect, and we'll probably talk just their history, the sport of off-road, where it's going. Man, these guys are visionaries, you know, always pushing the boundaries of media and content and creation and marketing, and I'm really, really excited to do this interview. I've interviewed both of them countless times, but I've never actually sat down with them both at the same time, and I think that's what's going to make what's going to happen, you know, tomorrow on the off-road edition very, very special. So If you're a fan of off-road, you're definitely going to enjoy that one. I know last week I had Marty Fioka. You know, a lot of you guys know Marty from, you know, just about everywhere, off-road Hall of Famer. And, you know, we talked some Nora, some Cranon, just sportive off-road. Before that, Ryan Arciero. That interview literally still today is charting as one of the top automotive interviews in the entire country. You guys just keep downloading that, and the feedback I've got is absolutely insane on that interview. It was better than I ever even expected. We sat down for an hour and a half. So definitely, if you haven't already, please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Please leave a rating and a review. If you leave a rating or review, leave your Twitter, Instagram, at username in the body of the view. And when I see it, I'll follow you back on social media. I also got my other show, Project Action, on Podcast One. Got Ryan Hall, Olympic marathon runner. He's going to be my guest this week. Next week, I've got my good friend Jonathan Coyle, fitness expert, been around the industry for a long time. He's a husband of Natalie Eva Marie. You know, he's done his fair share of Hollywood and stuff like that. So going to be fun. So anyways, yeah, that all coming up, and we're going to take a short break. We'll return here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire. General Tire's Grabber X3 Mud Terrain Tire offers aggressive styling and is engineered for durability with innovative performance features that are ready to carry you through extreme mud, dirt, and rock-covered terrain. For extreme traction that's ready for anything and rugged styling to match, look no further than the Grabber X3 from General Tire. Make your anywhere possible by visiting GeneralTire.com today. General Tire, aggressive styling with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Cranon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Holy gosh! Oh man, that was a hell of a ride.
Go check out MyMedic.com for the best first aid kits on the planet, and save 15% with discount code Jim Beaver. Again, MyMedic.com, discount code Jim Beaver, and save 15%. It's cheaper than a few.
All right, and welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off hour number two here. And that leads us to our Dirtfish Rally report for this week, brought to you by our good friends at Dirtfish Rally. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. And, you know, you look for a coupon code, use the coupon code JBDirtfish. That'll get you 15% off. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Man, I was going to count all the way to 15, but yeah, lost my mojo there. I was like, yeah, that's way too far to count. But they were also the title sponsor of the Olympus Rally. It was the Dirtfish Olympus Rally this past weekend, part of the ARA series, and up there in Washington. And this is a fun one, man. This was, I think a lot of people forget that this rally is actually, you know, it was formerly part of the World Rally Championship. So it's really special. Got a lot of heritage, a lot of history, and I think that's what makes makes this one winning that much more special. Anything that was part of the WRC at one point, it's got a little bit more clout. So things fired up there in Shelton, Washington, and it was Oliver Solberg, the son of Petter Solberg, taking the victory for Subaru Motorsports USA, his first ever, North American rally victory. He beat David Higgins and Craig Drew by almost 26 seconds, 25.9 seconds. Oliver, a funny thing about him is he's not even 16, right? So this kid's an insane talent. Obviously, his dad is, has got a pedigree second to none, former world champion. Oliver, the interesting part is he doesn't have his driver's license yet. So he can win stage rallies in 650 horsepower Subarus, but he doesn't have his driver's license. He's actually got to use his co-driver to drive, in transit, and then he gets in the driver's seat on stage. It's kind of crazy the way that works. But big shout out to Oliver Solberg. It was David Higgins finishing in the second position. My good friend Peter Fitella finishing in third. Seamus Burke and Martin Brady in fourth. And then fifth, it was my buddy Cameron Steele and Preston Osborne. So that was your top five there at the Olympus Rally. And that was your Dirtfish Rally Report for this week, brought to you by Dirtfish Rally School, and we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you, but you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire. General Tire's Grabber X3 Mud Terrain Tire offers aggressive styling and is engineered for durability with innovative performance features that are ready to carry you through extreme mud, dirt, and rock-covered terrain. For extreme traction that's ready for anything and rugged styling to match, look no further than the Grabber X3 from General Tire. Make your anywhere possible by visiting GeneralTire.com today. General Tire, aggressive styling with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Come to the island and rip it up this summer. Wakeboard Island. It's a skate park on water at Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check out the two-tower cable system that pulls you and your board over the water. No boats to watch out for. No fumes. Wakeboard Island is open to all skill levels with an open center section for beginners and for trick riders, a double side kicker in a 60-foot flat box. Wakeboard Island. The best ride this side of the Rockies. Adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina at Blue Water Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with Chris Leone, and we're going to jump into some power rankings. Chris, I guess this is one of those, we went from last week where we didn't have a damn thing going on, literally, like nothing in the entire world. There was no motorsports. Now this weekend, I feel like it's like we got to binge motorsports just because we didn't do anything last weekend. I think everything aside from maybe IndyCar and some semblance of off-road was running.
Yeah, pretty much, Jim. I mean, geez, we had rally here in the U.S. We had rally in Argentina. We had Formula One. We had Supercross coming back for the second to last round of the year. Another four wide NHRA round. Formula Drift in Orlando. What am I missing? I mean, I guess NASCAR. NASCAR and, of course, our General Tire Shod friends in ARCA taking over Talladega. So that was a huge one. I mean, yeah, it's... If you were struggling over Easter weekend because you had to watch a couple of reruns, whatever you might have been able to scrape up, you were fine this past weekend in racing. If you couldn't find something to enjoy, then that's on you.
Yeah, that's an understatement. There was plenty this weekend. Like, I couldn't even keep track of everything. It was, I don't know, like we've always said, there's those weird weekends throughout the year, and we've got that one coming up in June, that magical June date that's always just, for some odd reason, slam-packed full. It's like, you know what I think it is? It's because, like, the weekend prior is always the Indy 500, Monaco Grand Prix, Coke 600, which is a big weekend in itself. So I feel like everybody doesn't want to have something run up against that big, you know, they call it the biggest weekend in racing. And in actual truth, it's not. It's got some of the biggest races, but it's not the biggest weekend. And it's like, so everybody else jumps in the weekend after that. And you know what I mean? Because they don't want to go head to head with the juggernauts. And so it becomes this massive weekend in and of itself, you know?
Yeah, man. Honestly, if I was starting my own racing series, I'd be running the weekend after all those weekends. Because everybody else is off. I mean, you know, honestly, we look at this weekend and there's not really going to be a lot going on either. I mean, you've got Supercross, obviously.
That's a big one, though, the finale.
Is back, you know, that's back. But, I mean, you've got IMSA at Mid-Ohio, I think, but that's really about it. There's not much. You know, everybody just kind of crammed into this past weekend. And let's just say that it's made our job pretty interesting because I can think of about 11 people who are worthy of about five spots for each of us.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I know, speaking of which, you and I will be on site at the Indy GP in 2 weeks. So not a lot going on this weekend. Obviously, we got that Supercross finale, but you and I will probably talk more about that next week. But we're going to have some fun there in Indy. I'm kind of excited to get you to Indianapolis for your first time, at least to Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to Indy once as a kid, did a vacation with my family when I was maybe 9 or 10 years old. I don't remember much of that vacation other than I lost one of the diecasts that I bought because, of course, I did. So we went in, we bought another one, and then lo and behold, the other one showed up.
Yeah, I don't know that the store at Indianapolis Motor Speedway is ready for Chris Leone and your diecast collection because, like, it's insane the stuff they've got there. I'm just saying.
It wasn't 2 years ago. I cleared them out after we did GRC Indianapolis, you know. Carved out a little time. I always do. Anytime I travel, I'll carve out a little time to go to the diecast shop, you know, pick something up. And, you know, in Vegas, when we were at the Mint, we were on Fremont Street, you know that Vegas Toy Shack being right there was perfect for me. I just dipped in, grabbed a few things, you know. I'll do the same thing in Indianapolis. You know, I do the same thing where we go. There's always some place that has, you know, something nice. And I'm kind of tapered off on the collection a little bit because I think I've got just about everything I really want. Now I need to get back into the custom stuff and making my own.
Yeah, no, those were always awesome when you were doing all your custom stuff for GRC and all the drivers and things like that. But we gotta roll right into our power rankings, get things started here. So number five on your list, Chris, who did you have rolling in at number five?
Well, Jim, I am going to give some credit where credit is due over at Olympus Rally, our Dirtfish Olympus Rally. Awesome to see our friends at Dirtfish taking over as a title partner of that event. And I am going to go with Oliver Solberg, who took his first victory in the U.S. over at Dirtfish Olympus Rally this past weekend. You know, he's he's come over here, joined the Subaru family, you know, which is a big enough story in and of itself, just because obviously his dad, Petter, won the WRC title with them, you know, I want to say 02, 03. I'm blanking on the year off the top of my head. But anyhow, you know, huge story seeing him come in. He's been driving well beyond his years. I mean, Oliver Solberg's just a teenager right now, but he is driving whatever he's driving with the poise and confidence of somebody twice his age with dozens of wins and championship trophies on their mantle. So I got to give it to Oliver Solberg for number five. You know, great victory for him out at Olympus Rally, and, you know, certainly fitting as well, because that was the that was America's WRC round years and years ago. So cool to see that little bit of history tie together.
Yeah, I think a lot of people forget that Olympus Rally was actually on the WRC calendar at one point, which I think is just a really rad bit of nostalgia there. It's kind of reminds me of like the whole Long Beach thing. People forget that Long Beach was actually a Formula One event at one point in time before it went to, you know, IndyCar, Champ Car, Kart, whatever the hell you want to call it at this point in time. But yeah, so no, I had a little struggle there with my number five, because I had Oliver Solberg and I had one other driver kind of penciled in at five, and I opted to go with the other driver. So Oliver Solberg didn't crack my top five. He was on the bubble. He's an honorable mention. The reason why is I had Chase Elliott at number five, and I know I'm siding with NASCAR here, but Talladega is one of the big ones, literally, because it's such a big track. This is, you know, you got a handful of events NASCAR guys want to win every year. You know, obviously Daytona is one of the big ones. Well, it is the big one, but I don't know. Talladega, there's just something special because just the massive size of that track, and I don't think it's an easy one to win. For that reason, I had Chase Elliott slotted in at number five on my list.
Yeah, I can definitely respect that. I had a hard time, honestly, trying to figure out where to put anybody who ran Talladega this past weekend, anybody who won at Talladega this past weekend, and I eventually ended up leaving all of them off my list. It's funny because I'm the NASCAR guy, and we do these power rankings, and you tend to give the NASCAR guys more credit than I do. So it's the funniest thing. I mean, yeah, I can't knock it, and obviously, you know, I don't know if you had seen, I don't know if this has come up, but his father, Bill, was actually running some vintage racing in Road Atlanta and won the stock car race that was out there over the weekend.
I didn't
so
see
we had
that.
Both Elliots in victory lane over the weekend. Yeah,
that's
no,
what...
it's pretty rad. I mean, I think it was one of the old Evernham cars. I actually think, judging by the front end of that car, I think it's newer than the ones that Bill actually raced for that team. I think it was while he was beginning semi-retirement. It looks like a Casey Kane car, but anyhow, yeah, both Elliott's in victory lane this year, so that was pretty cool.
Here's a question, and you're the NASCAR guy, not me.
Yep.
Bill Elliott, I believe, still holds the fastest lap record ever in NASCAR, and it was before restrictor plates, and it was at Talladega, and it was something crazy like 230 miles an hour in his old Thunderbird or something. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he is still the record holder strictly because that was before restrictor plates.
Yes, sir, and actually that was part of the deal this weekend, was now that there are no longer restrictor plates with the new package that NASCAR is running, you know, guys were starting to top 200 again, because that was what the restrictor plate had been doing, keeping them under that 200 threshold. But little interesting factoid from that, one of the things that kind of got passed around, Bill Elliott was also the last driver to win at Talladega before the restrictor plate era, and now his son is the first driver to win after the restrictor plate era. So that's a pretty cool story coming out of there. I mean, usually when you think of Talladega, you think the Earnhardts, because Senior won 10 times there, and I don't remember how many times Dale Jr. won there, but he won quite a few.
Jr. was hell of a restrictor plate driver. Yeah, I mean, Dale Sr. won everything, right? But I think Jr., he was known to be a restrictor plate driver. I mean, he was damn good at it.
Yeah, the DEI cars in their heyday were just by far the best restrictor plate cars, you know, in NASCAR. Dale Jr. got a few wins, you know, won Daytona, Talladega, Michael Waltrip. I still remember Mikey popping out of the roof hatch after winning at Talladega. I mean, those cars were fantastic. I mean, it's sad to see the restrictor plate era end, but, you know, definitely good on Chase. Like I said, he didn't quite make my list, but got to respect anybody who has the stones to pull it off at Dega.
Yeah, Dega's a special one. And we've got, I guess, our top four remaining, and we're going to get to those. We come back right here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Hey, this is Jim Beaver, host of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Getting down and dirty on the racetrack is all fun and games until it's time to get the dirt off. I know it all too well, which is why I partnered with MotoShield Pro, the leaders in nanotechnology solutions on the racetrack and in off-road to combat mud and dirt buildup on my vehicles. MotoShield Pro keeps us from taking unnecessary damage and spending extra energy on cleaning. No matter the weather or the surface, having proper protection on all my vehicles saves me plenty of reprep time in a sport where every second counts. Prep your vehicle like a pro. Learn more at MotoShieldPro.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Chris Leone here. I don't know, knee deep in our power rankings for the week. Coming in at number five, Chris had Oliver Solberg. I had Chase Elliott. What brings us to number four? Chris, who is number four on your list this week?
Well, Jim, my number four, I had Chase Sexton winning his first 250 East Supercross race in MetLife Stadium down in New Jersey. Chase has had a couple of lucky breaks. Obviously, Austin Faulkner had been far and away the best rider this season, topped the 250 standings in most of the first races. Then he got hurt in practice in Nashville, but, sometimes that doesn't matter. It's, you've got to put yourself in the right place at the right time to be able to capitalize on anything that might happen. And Chase Sexton has done a marvelous job of that. He has been engaged in that battle for second place with Justin Cooper in points for most of the season. But once Nashville happened and Faulkner missed that race, Sexton, he didn't take the victory there, but he managed to close back in. And then at MetLife Stadium was able to take that first victory of his, when Faulkner shorted the jump and just couldn't keep riding anymore. So, great job by Chase Sexton to finally take that first victory. I know they were really more gunning for the victory than trying to take over the championship lead last weekend. They were kind of letting the points fall as they may, but sometimes, you just, like I said, you keep putting yourself in a position to succeed and good things happen. So we might be looking at this year's 250 East champion in Chase Sexton just because of how consistent he's been all year long.
Yeah, and I honestly, a couple rounds ago, I wouldn't have thought we'd be saying that, but definitely, things have turned there with Faulkner and his struggles, and Sexton, he looks to be in the catbird seat right now, but definitely got to put it together in Vegas. But I did not have Sexton at number four. I had our good friend and our guest this week, Steve Torrence, is my number four. Good to see Steve and the Capco boys. Now, he's had a pretty consistent year. But he hasn't had that big victory yet. His dad, Billy Torrence, had a victory. Steve hasn't though, but he's been putting it together enough that he's right around the final round. He's right around the semis. He's gathering the points. He just didn't have that victory, which is crazy after he just absolutely murdered everybody in the countdown last year, literally murdered everybody. Steve taking the Top Fuel win this weekend, which I will add is 3 for 3, the last 3 four-wides at Charlotte. He has won all 3 straight 4-wides at Charlotte, and he's won one of the last two there in Vegas. So Steve, kind of the 4-wide king right now, also inherited the points lead in Top Fuel again. So for those reasons, Steve Torrence, number four on my list.
Yeah, absolutely. And Steve is definitely on my list, but he'll come a little later. At my number three, I've actually got Odi Bakcis in Formula Drift. 2 for 2 to start the season, took down Forrest Wang in Long Beach and then took another victory in Orlando. And, sometimes it's just somebody's year. in Formula Drift. And obviously it's a little different than all the other series that we cover where, you know, you're dealing with something that's judged rather than something that's won or lost on the timesheets. But, you know, Odie has been stellar this year. He's qualified in the top eight, I believe, in both of the both of the events that they've had so far. You know, and sometimes when you have a strong enough start like that, you can really carry it through the entire season, especially in FD, where you're now a quarter of the way through the year because there are only eight rounds. If you've won the first two of them, you've put yourself in some pretty darn good shape. So the Chris Forsbergs, the James Deans of the world, they're going to have their work cut out for them to catch Odie this year, I think, and that's why he is my number three.
Yeah, well, I did have Odie on my list, but not at number three. We'll have to get to him in a bit. My number three, we're going to have to go to Baku City in some Formula One. I had Valtteri Bottas as my number three. You know, I really like the Baku City track just because it's kind of a street course, and I know they make passing hard and things like that, but to me there's just something rad about open wheel cars, whether it be Long Beach or Monaco. Doesn't matter the discipline. I just love street courses, just with the way they look. But with his win, you know, his top qualifier, took the victory. He was second fastest lap. Leclerc ended up, I think, clipping him on the last lap and taking the fastest lap of the day or something. But win, top qualifier, points lead over Lewis Hamilton. I mean, it's just a very narrow margin there. But I had Bottas there at number three on my list. Solid, dominating weekend for him there at Baku City.
Yeah, and we are seeing a very different Valtteri Bottas than we did last year. I mean, he didn't take a victory all last season. You know, and being at Mercedes, you know, being at a team where you've got Hamilton next to you and you've got him dominating the championship, it is really difficult to go through a winless season and certainly have job security because there are plenty of great drivers out there. So for Bottas to come out this year the way that he has, first, second, second, first, you know, winning at Baku where, yeah, like you've said, it's almost impossible to pass, but also throwing down the gauntlet in the season opener. I mean, he is going to be fun to watch this year. I wouldn't be surprised if he makes a real show of it this year, the same way that Nico Rosberg used to give Hamilton headaches, you know, all season long. My number two, moving forward, you've already gotten to him, but, you know, Steve Torrence, obviously it's great to see that he's back on the show this week. You know, your interviews with Steve are always some of the greatest. I got to catch up with him, obviously, last year at the New England Nationals, which he also won because what didn't Steve Torrence win last year? There's been some really exceptional parity in Top Fuel this year. I believe it's six different winners to start the season. And, you know, Steve's dad, Billy, like you mentioned, got one earlier in the year. And, you know, Steve finally gets his first of the year in Charlotte, winning those four wide Nationals. You know, it's so tough to, especially in the NHRA, go out and defend a victory that you took, you know, the previous season, just because, you know, anything can happen. So for Steve to go back to back to back in Charlotte under the four wide format, I mean, that's remarkable to me.
Yeah, Steve, you know, I've got no arguments anybody putting Steve anywhere on their list, you know. But, you know, obviously you and I are kind of flip-flopping here a little bit. I had coming in on my number two, I actually had Odie Bakchis as my number two. Just as you, same reasons you said, you know, he swept the season so far, two for two. And I think the thing people forget about Formula Drift is it's a judged motorsport. And you can be the best, but, you know, it all goes to the judges' scorecards at the end of the day. And so I think it really becomes very, very difficult to get hot in Formula D because there's that added element that's literally out of your control. And I think, you know, especially Formula D, you look at the guys like you'd mentioned Forsberg and Dean. And I mean, you know, you can't leave out the veterans like Turk and Vaughn Gittin Jr. And I mean, the list goes on. I mean, it's a stacked field. There's no easy bracket in Formula D. And for Odie to come out 1-2 swinging to start the year, this guy is going to be, he's going to be exciting to watch as things unfold, you know, the rest of 2019. But that leaves us with our number one picks, Chris. I'm wondering if both of us are unanimous here. Who do you have at number one?
Well, Jim, I honestly have no idea because it has been an exceptionally loaded weekend of action motorsports. I'm going to sound like a broken record on this one. Stop me if you've heard this one before, but I am going with Cooper Webb at number one for basically tying up the 450 championship with another victory at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. He was ill. He was throwing up in the morning. You know, he was not riding 100%. I mean, admittedly, part of this is because a couple of riders in front of him made mistakes. Zach Osborne, obviously late in the race, right after he got the lead, you know, messes up going into one of those tight hairpins and gives the lead right back to Cooper Webb. And just Eli Tomac inexplicably just losing it a couple of times. You know, Eli should have won that race and we should have had a little bit of a closer battle going into Vegas this weekend. But, you know, not the first time that's happened with Eli. He's got the outdoor season on lockdown, but there's just something that keeps affecting him in the Supercross season. But anyhow, Cooper Webb, like I said with Chase Sexton, you've got to put yourself in position to take advantage of the setbacks that come across other riders, you know, and Cooper Webb, he's done that all year. He's gotten whole shots. He's rode consistently. He's always been on the podium, win after win after win, second place, third place. It doesn't matter. He is up there just about every single weekend. And all he really needs to do is qualify for that main event in Vegas and bring it home, and he will have a well-deserved championship. So Cooper Webb's my number one.
Yeah, and I'll make that unanimous, I think, you know, is a given. And his season has just been remarkable. Like you said, the consistency and, you know, to his credit, man, I mean, I will say going into the season, I did not think we would be talking about Cooper Webb in a championship, you know, come May in Las Vegas. But he has proven everybody wrong this year, probably other than himself, you know, and I think that's no slight on Cooper. It's just we didn't expect him. We knew he was good. We just didn't know he was this good. But, you know, Tomac has been hot as of late, taking a couple of victories recently, narrowed the gap. But like you said, Cooper's just been consistent. And, you know, that's what Tomac hasn't been able to find. I think he's got a little over a 20-point lead. And I think victories in Supercross are 26 points. Correct me if I'm wrong. So it's going to – he doesn't have it clinched. But it would take Cooper literally not making the main event, which isn't going to happen, or literally having a bike failure on the starting line or something like that, and finishing dead last. Meanwhile, Eli Tomac wins or something. I mean, it's an asterisk at this point. It's an anomaly. I don't see that happening. But yeah, Cooper Webb definitely my number one as well. With that, you know, thanks a lot, Chris. We got to roll into a commercial break right here. But you know, we'll be back with you again next week right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my partner in crime, Tiffany Stone, to the line. And you're kind of in my old stomping grounds this past weekend. I felt like it was kind of old home week watching you out at ARA Rally. Man, welcome to the show. Tell us, I guess your first experience in ARA Rally. I'm like excited to hear about this. I know you and I haven't really been able to publicly talk about you now going to ARA Rally and doing all these interviews, but I'm excited to hear about your first stage rally experience, T-Stone.
Oh, man, it was really cool. I mean, I guess the best way I can honestly say, like, if you've never even heard about it or kind of know anything about Sage Rally, just imagine a really cool, like, trophy truck race, desert race, but in the middle of the woods for cars like Subarus and Ford Fiestas and stuff like that. So it's kind of really cool because they have, instead of, you know, laps or whatnot that they take for, like, the desert trucks and everything like that, they do stages. So the first day we did 8 different stages. You know, they'll do a few stages and then go to this thing called service. And then that's where they'll service all the vehicles, kind of like a pit row type deal, you know, or the pits or, you know, the paddock, however you want to kind of call it.
Yeah.
But see, that's kind of the same way with both of them. And I think that's kind of cool. So that's what I really liked about it. It was kind of what I was familiar with, but in a different way. So I was always telling everybody, I was like, you know, I come from the desert world, but motorsports to me have all the same type of ingredients. It's just how you put them together and what comes out at the end.
Yeah. And I love, like, you got to get all the lingo right too, because, like, me, I'm an off-road guy. So it's like dirt and pavement, or dirt and asphalt, right? In rally, it's gravel and tarmac. You have to get you got to get the lingo down. You can't call it dirt. They look at you like, they're like, no, it's gravel. I'm like, no, that's dirt. No, it's considered gravel. I'm like, all right. No arguments on my part, but you got to get the lingo down.
No, and that's the funniest thing. It was just because exactly what you're saying. It's more so of the lingo. And it was like, you know, I know in IMSA and IndyCar, they're called paddocks, but then in NHRA, they're called the pits. And just like we have the pits, you know, it's the funniest thing, but I truly, really loved it. And it really kind of shows how great drivers can be, you know, because they're obviously twisting and, you know, twining all around. And the Olympus Rally has been such a staple for Stage Rally for the last 40 years in Washington that it's really cool to see some of the iconic drivers come out and be able to just dominate certain stages. And then I know a lot of guys were saying that Wildcat was a little kind of, you know, sketch because it's such a windy type of road. And like you're saying, the gravel can change at any time after every single driver. So it's really kind of cool how it all changes, but it's kind of similar.
Yeah, I know between your posts, and then I know Dirtfish was out there. They were a big sponsor of the event, our partners at Dirtfish. And I know they were, they had all kinds of crazy posts, you know, about the event. But let me ask you this, because I know obviously you'd kind of been familiar with a few of the names, you know, obviously David Higgins. Everybody knows who David Higgins is and things like that. But was there any standouts, like personalities, like people you met and you're just like, oh, wow, like, because that's one thing I love about Stage Rally. Like, there's so many different personalities and all these guys and ladies, they all have, like, it just cracks me up, like, you know, just the different personalities you get to meet in that sport.
No, yeah, I thought it was really, really cool. One guy that I got a chance to talk to was Cameron Steele.
Oh,
and it was just,
yes,
like, his personality was, like, so big, and he's this tall guy fitting in a smaller vehicle, and it was just cool, because you're exactly right. When you get to talk to a bunch of people, there are some standout personalities. You're like, man, you have the gift of gab. Like, we could chat for a while.
Yeah, you didn't mention me to Cameron, did you? He and I are good friends,
no,
by the way. I have a story about him. He and I sat in the bar the night before a rally one time until literally at 2 a.m. when they closed it down, and he was supposed to race the next morning, and he did race the next morning. He did really well. How he actually did well, I have no idea. That's a test to his driving ability, because let me tell you, that boy had no business being anywhere near a rally car at 2 in the morning, but somehow the next day he was completely sober, and he went out and won a bunch of stages, and I'm just like, wow, like, I'm sitting here trying to do interviews, I can't even keep it together. Here's this guy stone sober at, you know, 8 a.m., like, slaying stages. I'm like, props to you, Cameron, because I couldn't have done what you just did. I know what you look like at 2 a.m.
Well, maybe he was joking, and maybe they were all just like virgin drinks, Jim, and he was pulling a fast one on you, and everybody else was like, I'll just get everybody wasted, and, you know, nobody will know the difference, and I'll just drink Coca-Cola, because I have done that sometimes. There's even been times when people have bought shots, and I'll, like, really cup the shot glass, but then dump it before I take the shot and pretend to take it and, you know, make that face and everything, and everybody's none the wiser, yeah, to what I've actually done.
Yeah, I've had friends that have actually got the bartender to pour them coffee, you know, and it's like you think you're taking Jaeger shots or something like that, and they're actually taking coffee shots, you know, and it's like everybody's getting hammered and they're sitting here acting like they are, but they're actually just drinking coffee.
No, exactly. So, you know, these are little tricks that we've learned that nobody really knows. So I think I'm just outing myself right now. But it's still been a year that I haven't drank, Jim. Seriously, on May 4th, it will be one entire year, 365 days without alcohol. And it's crazy. It's crazy how much your body changes, like your mental state and how you feel, and especially like your skin, how like young you look after.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, that's like seriously, I knew it was close to a year, but props to you. That's insane, you know. And I know, you know, we don't have to get into the reasons why you made that change and things like that. But props to you, because a lot of people say they're going to do it and they find out it's really hard. And especially working in motorsports, you and I know that's not easy because we're around it all the time, you know. But it's like props to you for doing it and making it stick, you know.
No, exactly. Like we always joke, racing is drinking and drinking is racing. You know, not at one at the same, but if you're going to a race event, usually the spectators are drinking. And then after the race, usually the drivers are drinking. So it's like, it is very hard. And when you become friends with certain drivers and you guys just want to chill and like let loose, it's so hard to be like, oh, I'd really love one, but I'm not going to waste this on just a regular vodka and cranberry or something.
Yeah. So I got to ask, I know one of my favorite guys in Stage Rally, he's become a great friend of mine. Did you get a chance to talk to Peter Fitella at all?
Yes, I did. He was awesome. We were joking about him being a Polish man living in Chicago.
Yeah.
But it was awesome to talk to him. And then it was also really cool to talk to Oliver Solberg, you know, him being so young. And the crazy part about this is the fact that he doesn't technically have a U.S. driver's license. So he can only drive the stages. He can't drive to the transit. Isn't that crazy? But kind of cool, too.
Yeah, his co-driver's got to drive to the actual stages, correct?
Correct, yeah. So his co-driver has to drive to the stages, and as soon as they get to ATC, they switch, and then Oliver goes out. And he actually took the first overall, so that was kind of cool to see that as well.
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, you and I talk about, you know, the personalities you meet and, like, how you become friends with these people, and I know you're very much that way, especially in short course and off-road, and you get to know the families. Like, Peter, I'm just thinking back. Now you're pulling stuff out of my brain, but it was funny, the first race I ever did was Rally America at the time, which has now become ARA Rally. He was there, and for some odd reason, it was a snowdrift, and it was just, like, it was bad conditions. I didn't get to do as many interviews as I wanted to. Somehow, I didn't get to interview Peter, and it was like my first event, and I was kind of nervous and just learning the ropes. So I show up to the second one, which was 100 Acre Wood, and I'm walking through the I call it the pit area, the paddock, whatever you want to call it. And here's Peter. He's like, "Hey, radio guy." And he's saying it in his, you know, his Polish accent or whatever. And I turn and I walk over there, and he and his co-driver stand there. He says, "So what's the deal?" He says, "You racist against Polish people?" And I looked at him. I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And he goes, "Well, you didn't interview me last time." And he says, and it's day one and you haven't interviewed me yet here. And I looked at him and his co-driver's this total stone straight face. And I'm like, I get my microphone out and I go, "Well, let's do an interview right now." And he goes, "Maybe I don't want to do an interview with you." And I'm looking at him, and then him and his co-driver start laughing, you know what I mean? And like ever since then, it was just like, it was their icebreaker, but it was funny. Like it got to the point where, like, when him and his girlfriend at the time, got pregnant, like he came and like, he was so excited, gave me a big hug. "I'm going to be a dad." And he's like teary eyed. And you know what I mean? Like, that's one thing I love about motorsport, T-Stone, is you get to know these people on like a human level, and you get to share, you know what I mean? In those like real human moments. And it's not just, you know, the wins in racing, it's like the wins in life, you know?
No, exactly. And that's what I think is so cool about it, because those things do happen. It's what I always try to tell people about drivers or anybody else. It's just, they're normal people with really cool jobs. And that's what it is. They get excited when they become parents. They get excited when their kid graduates kindergarten. They get excited when their favorite ice cream comes. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, they're all still human. They're all still normal people. So it's kind of cool to really, really see it all to come together. And I was trying to tell them, I was like, you know, I'm here. We're going to do a little bit more lifestyle stuff, some more social media. Like, I want you guys to be people. So instead, if, you know, bring more fans out and be like, you know what? I really like that driver because he eats Captain Crunch in the morning. You know, like something little like that. And that's how people become other people's favorite drivers, not only by their skill, but who they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you've got one rally in the books now. Obviously, we're going to see you at all the ARA rallies. I mean, what was, I guess, one of your biggest surprises, like, as a newcomer coming into the sport of rally? What was one of your biggest surprises of the weekend? Like, what did you learn or what did you not expect?
Well, I mean, I expected it because I know all race cars cost a lot of money. But just the amount of money that is actually put into some of these vehicles that, you know, just look like normal production vehicles under the hood, and you start seeing the suspension, the wheels, the tires, what they're really like running on and pushing. And I'm just like, wow, these machines are still so impressive. And it's so crazy because I'm used to being around trophy trucks that sound so loud. They're like, brr, you know, and then these other cars are still loud, but it's not, it's a different type of loud. So I guess just how much power those machines still have, but they're still kind of production vehicles because, like we were saying, they have to transit from stage to stage still.
Yeah, well, and I think that's one thing that a lot of people are shocked by, too, is, like, the first time they go to a stage rally, like, you know, they see the Subaru program, and it's a full factory-backed effort, and people see, and, I mean, that operation runs like clockwork. You won't find a better finely-tuned machine. I don't care if we're talking about IndyCar, NASCAR, NHRA, like, the way that Team Subaru is dialed in and locked in, like, it's just amazing. Like, when the car pulls in, everything's down to the second. They've got timers running. Guys are doing this, and they know how much time they've got. You know, David gets out of the car, or Oliver, they decompress with somebody. They go in, they eat, they come back, and it's all, like, literally down to the second to the time the car pulls out. Like, it's amazing to me how that team runs. And I think people, you can't put that into perspective unless you're actually at a rally and get to see it, you know?
No, exactly. So what I'm going to try to do, too, for everybody out there who hasn't been able to, like, they can either follow ARA Rally on Instagram. There's also an app. And then we do something called flowracing.com is where we'll have our recaps. But I'm going to start trying to put some of those behind-the-scenes things on my Instagram so everybody can see it and see really what it is. And, like, the coolest thing, like we were talking about with them being still street legal, is you could be driving down, you know, from one stage to the other, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're behind a rally car.
Yeah. No, and that's what's funny, too. And, you know, it's like if there's a slow driver, something like that, I know the drivers in, like, in the rally cars, they get so mad because they can only go the speed limit, but they want to go exactly the speed limit. You know, and if somebody's going, like, 3 miles an hour under something, it's like they get so frustrated and mad. They're like, oh, speed up.
No, I completely agree with you. So I'm hoping to bring you guys some more info soon.
Yeah. Awesome, T-Stone. Well, I am stoked you had a good time out there at ARA Rally. I know I'm looking forward to hearing your stories from the rest of the season. And it sounds like you had a blast. I know you're in the airport, but always fun catching up, Tiffany.
It is always a good time. So, like I always tell everybody, stay tuned.
Always fun hearing about somebody's first rally experience or stage rally experience. Really excited to have T-Stone out on the stages for us. And if you're a rally fan, you probably should check out Dirtfish Rally. You know, our partners up there at Dirtfish, that is right. And if you're looking to get behind the wheel of a rally car, check them out at dirtfish.com. And if you want a discount on those classes to get behind the wheel of a rally car, use the coupon code JBDirtfish. That'll get you 15% off there at Dirtfish Rally School. And with that, we'll be back with more right after this here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next cat-back exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right. Well, thanks to everybody for tuning in today to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Another fun one. Always good catching up with my good friend Steve Torrance. Big thanks to Chris Leone for manning the website and punching out all the great social media and web content, and Tiffany Stone for always coming, keeping a real T-Stone rules to live by here on the show every week with her segment. And don't forget to check out my other show. We've got the Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition, the Foil Parts Down and Dirty Show Off-Road Edition. That's dropping tomorrow. I'm going to have Matt and Josh Martelli talking about the big Mint 400 UTV World Championship news, that they're now independent. It's going to be a really good interview. And then got Ryan Hall coming up later this week on Project Action. He just dropped a book, and he's also been an Olympic marathoner, one of the best marathoners the United States has ever had. It was an awesome interview. Caught up with him for a good hour. If you're a big sports fan, you'll definitely want to tune into Project Action this week as well. Next week, I am off to Indy GP for the month of May kickoff. This weekend, we got Silver State 300. We got the Nora Mexican 1000 currently going on. We got Supercross finale in Vegas. I'll be watching that this weekend, live tweeting probably during the event. So definitely keep tabs on that. Big thanks to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Four-Wheel Parts, My Medic. Don't forget, it is Jim Beaver is the coupon code for 15% off at My Medic. Dirtfish Rally School, coupon code is JB Dirtfish for 15% off there. Vision Wheel, Gibson Exhaust, MotoShield Pro, Blue Water Resort and Casino. And thanks to all you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, check out the website. We've been dropping all kinds of video content. The YouTube channel is popping. We've got just videos cranking out. Make sure and check us out. It's at JimBeaver15 on all social media, as well as Twitch. We're going to add some Twitch streaming there as well. Ton of stuff going on. But check us out. Give us a follow, and I'll give you a follow back. And thanks for the support, and we'll see you next week here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.